while it was a shaky knees event and it was a very cool event, all of these people are more Bonnaroo related.
And for me, this whole weekend, I feel like, was a redemption from Bonnaroo because, you know, we hardly saw any music at Bonnaroo. This time, I saw a lot of music.
When you woke up this morning, Monday morning, after 3 days of music, what was the song in your head? Welcome back to the What Podcast. I'm Barry. That's Russ. We are a podcast that is primarily focused on what's right there on Russ's shirt. Bonnaroo.
Bonnaroo.
Bonnaroo. However, we also like to cover all kinds of different things. And I think we're going to prove that today.
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind of events that are not Bonnaroo this past week or so.
I have never had a week quite like this. We joke later in the show, you'll see, we interview Bill Murray. And I joke because I think you actually made the joke originally. We had Steve Martin with us on Thursday, not technically with us, but kind of, sort of. But we had Bill Murray, not that Bill Murray, on Saturday, which was awesome. And we kind of made the joke that maybe, you know, who's next? Is it going to be Chevy Chase or Jane Curtin? I don't know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, point of all that is the What Podcast, or various conglomerations of, whether you, me, and or Brian. We were at the IBMAs in Chattanooga this week, and then you were in Atlanta Friday through Sunday for Shaky Knees. I was there Saturday and Sunday for Shaky Knees. I had a blast. Did you have a good time?
I had a great time. This has always been one of my favorites. The lineup is always really good. This is the first year I'm used to it being in Central Park. They moved it to Piedmont Park. What'd you think? It seemed like it worked out layout-wise.
I thought the layout was great. It's huge. We heard a lot of comments from people comparing. I heard people say they preferred, what's the other one? Central Park.
Central Park.
Yeah, they liked it was more intimate. This one seemed a little more commercial, but then I heard from some actual crew and whatnot, they liked this one better because it was easier in and out. I have no complaints. I was really, really impressed with how clean it was. And I know that's always a weird thing to talk about, but I mean, there were people walking around with garbage bags and I mean, I saw so many people finish like a can of beer or water or whatever and look for a guy with a bag and walk 20, 30, 40, 50 feet to throw something away. That's a big deal, man. You know?
It is. Yeah.
It makes a difference. It was so clean.
Yeah.
I loved the dueling sort of stages. One show ends, and within seconds, the other one starts.
Yeah, the two main stages were kind of in one area together, but they weren't too close because you didn't get a lot of sound bleed. And then the two smaller stages, Ponce and Criminal Records, you had to kind of go up the hill. But they were in a good spot, I think. I think it all worked out.
Yeah. No lines for food, drinks.
No, it was, you know, I don't think they sold out, but I think they got real close and it was packed out, but nothing was too crowded. I mean, bathroom lines, food lines, even getting in was a breeze.
I mean, things were expensive. You know, a beer, 24 ounce was $15.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't buy food. So, I mean, you were going to spend some money, but that's, you know, that's just reality. When it got crowded, it was a little hard to get up and down that hill. Thankfully, people left a couple of aisles open. You know, those are minor. Did get dusty. I know you just before we got on air said you felt like you breathed in a playground.
Oh, yeah, I know. My whole nose and throat is just stopped up with dust. I've been coughing up dirt ever since I got back. It's awful.
For me, it was so cool because we ran into so many people. And I tried to jot down some names. Nathan, who is a listener of the show, Xander, Zach, Daniel. Daniel actually was back in media with us. He's a photographer. I'm pretty sure, I hope I have that name right, Daniel. If I'm wrong, please forgive me, but he, you know, came, all these people came up and said hi, and you had thankfully brought some stickers, and we were able to share those. And plus also, and this is kind of a, one of those weird things to mention, but the vendors were super nice, right? I mean, didn't you notice that? They were like,
I did.
Extremely engaging and friendly and happy to be there. And that makes such a difference. Just a hello, right? Just a hello, good morning. Yeah. How's your day going? Have a great festival. Makes such a difference. But of course, then we also saw, got to run into the Velans, Tara and Kai, just my favorite people. MGZ, also my favorite people, and her husband. I ran into them all the time, and it was always hugs. It was one of those. You know, you turn around like, oh, hey, there you are in a crowd.
We kept running into her.
30,000 people.
even Sunday, I kept running into her. So that was cool.
And then I didn't see him, but you saw Shayna and Maddie. And we never did see Bosco.
One guy that, you know, he said, oh, we'll look for you there. Never saw Bosco. I'm sure he was there. So we'll catch him next time.
But I was also... Yeah. Overjoyed. I got a text on Sunday morning, probably 10, from Mitchell saying, hey man, 12-hour shift selling popsicles in front of the Piedmont stage. Come see me. And so we got to hug and howdy, and we got to share a dirty joke or two. He was he was selling popsicles and telling jokes.
Yeah, like he always does. Like he does. I ran into him and got a popsicle Sunday. I think you had already left, but he was working hard. I mean, like you said, he was doing 12-hour shifts and really didn't get a lot of time off, so didn't get to stick around and talk too long with him. But shout out to Mitchell.
I'm not going to give numbers away, but I'll just say that the popsicle business did well this weekend.
yes it did.
He individually and as a business, they did very, very well. So, and I mentioned those folks, not just to give a shout out, but I'm so thankful they all came up and said hi and recognized and were like, hey, don't you do the what podcast type of?
Yeah. Plus everyone else who we ran into that, you know, we talked to for a minute and don't remember names or anything. Yeah. But we appreciate everybody that comes up and says hi. And
I can't even begin to tell you how much that means to me. It's like, are you kidding? You were at a couple of people who were like, oh, yeah, what, the wife was like, oh, my husband listens to you guys. Mm-hmm. And that's crazy. But the main thing, and I thought about this before we started recording this morning, is while it was a shaky knees event and it was a very cool event, all of these people are more Bonnaroo related, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They know us because of Bonnaroo. Mm-hmm. And when we talked about Bonnaroo. And it's just so wild, that connection.
Yeah. And for me, this whole weekend, I feel like was a redemption from Bonnaroo because, you know, we hardly saw any music at Bonnaroo. This time, I saw a lot of music. I don't know about you, but I saw a lot of the stuff that I wanted to see at Bonnaroo.
Yep.
And it really fulfilled what we were missing from June, you know?
When you woke up this morning, Monday morning, after 3 days of music, what was the song in your head? Well, there was one for me, and that's why it was Panic, which is the name of the song. But it's the Smiths. The refrain is Hang the DJ, Hang the DJ. That Johnny Marr show, man.
That was the first one that came to mind, was Johnny Marr. Yeah.
And that was there it is. That's probably why I asked.
Yeah, that was probably the surprise show of the week.
That's why I brought
I knew it was going to be good, but it really stood out.
Absolutely. And,
he played so much of the Smiths, more than I expected.
Absolutely. Crushed. And I was just like, I went to bed singing that song and I woke up singing that song. And that is,
stuck with me.
I missed him, at least once, maybe twice, for various reasons. He was going to be at a couple of things. And so I was so glad to see that. My don't miss show was Devo. And I've taken Monday off, and that's the music that's been playing upstairs about as loud as I can turn it up and not, you know, bring the cops.
Great.
It was so fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was so cool. What else stood out?
For me, the big one was Four Non Blondes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was going to ask. For those of you who have listened to the show for a long, long time, you know that Lord Taco has several skills. He's exceptionally good at rating PBR. He's also really good at identifying babies. So now I have a new identifying talent. Were they, in fact, non-blondes? And were there four non-blondes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. See, well, there you go. It's confirmed.
Lived up. Yeah.
that was your way on your list, right?
Yeah. Because I love Linda Perry. If you don't know the story or the song, you know, Four Non Blondes put out an album early 90s. What's Up? You know, it's one of the most, sung anthems as far as just people like to belt it out. And it was their big number one hit. Linda Perry kind of famously hated the album, didn't like the band. You know, they were on their way, propelled into stardom. Who likes success, right? I know. She was, they were wanting more and more, and she was, was like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be a pop star. And she quit the band and didn't leave the industry, but she focused more on songwriting, producing, and, throughout the 2000s, she worked with everybody. Everybody, it seemed like, had a song that was either written or produced by Linda Perry. But she said on stage, she didn't really like any of the Four Non Blondes songs that they did. They're writing new music. They've got a new album that they're working on. So they played a lot of new stuff, and they did some covers and did some old stuff, but it was maybe not what she expected. I mean, they did do What's Up, of course, and the whole crowd song, but... she's just got such a powerful voice.
When in the...
They did it towards the end.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Devo did Whip It, what, about fourth, fifth?
About the middle, yeah.
Yeah. It's always interesting.
I didn't expect that.
I know, right? That was a great set.
And then Weird Al. I don't know if you stayed for Weird Al.
I saw a little bit, and then I needed to get out of town, literally.
Yeah.
Was it good? Was it what you wanted?
It was great. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've seen him before, but it's always such a good show. And of course, he's done a ton of parodies. He's parodied, Coolio and Michael Jackson and, Devo, not really straight parody, but he's got a Devo-like song where they all come out in jumpsuits, kind of the same thing. And so it was a lot of costume changes. It was a lot of, performance. And he brought out Puddles, the clown.
Oh, nice. It was an Atlanta legend, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
yeah,
funny.
And they've toured together before, and it's a good fit. So it was a really fun show.
That's funny. We saw a friend of the show, David Champion, you were there. We saw David.
Yep.
David had sent me a note on Saturday night about the Public Enemy show. I've seen Public Enemy. Man, I go back to like the early days, 87, 88, with those guys. Saw them with U2 and PIL, I think I told you, in Birmingham.
You did,
so I've seen Public Enemy. That's a great show.
That
you
was
saw
another
fun.
I
yeah.
saw him. Fantastic, yeah. Saw yeah. Flavor Flav. He had the clock. Chuck D. Yeah, they put on a great show.
Flavor Flav. It was fun. I mean, I have nothing bad to say. And the weather was great. Like I said, it was hot. But you get a breeze every now and then, and
there was shady areas to stay in.
Yeah, ran into a couple of people from Canada and California, and they were talking about how muggy and humid it was. And I was like,
"You don't know muggy and humid."
Please, please.
Yeah,
this is pleasant. I mean, it's hot, but this is not muggy. Kind of going back. So what on this show, you're going to get our interview. We haven't even talked about, got to sit down with, Johnny Frank, Bill Murray, right? That was a blast.
Yeah. We should, clarify when we say Bill Murray, it's B-I-L-M-U-R-I. Not the Bill Murray, you know, because we told several people.
Well, he might dispute that, but
he might. But we told several people, oh, we're interviewing Bill Murray. And they're like, holy crap, wow, really? And I was like, well, yes, but let me explain. So,
yeah, he was cool.
We get into that. He was super cool. He's one of my favorite bands, too. I mean, saw them play that night, Saturday night. And yeah, the interview was fantastic. He was such a nice guy.
He was terrific. Speaking of, so I mean, I was backstage in media waiting for you and our time with Bill. I mean, yeah. I don't mean it like that. You got bad directions. So I'm sitting backstage waiting to do the interview, and Harlow and Tyler from Hey Nothing literally come walking through the fence right next to me. And I'm like, oh, hey, I know you people. And we kind of hugged and howdied, and I did, you know, the unprofessional thing later because I didn't care. I got up and did a selfie with them.
Nice.
But they were there to do an interview. Loved those guys. Then went out and saw their set, which I thought was great. They had a huge crowd. They're another Atlanta group.
Yeah, I wanted to mention, they're an Atlanta group. I wanted to mention their set, too, because I think they had a great crowd and a great show, and it's really good to see.
So that Saturday, we got to see a couple of friends of the show, right? We saw them, and then we saw Michigander, who also was
boy
great.
Yeah.
You guys can go back and listen to those interviews. But it was funny to kind of compare Bill Murray's summer with Hey Nothing, you know, and the fact that we just, like, within 10 minutes of each other, you know, we're sitting there talking about it. The fact that you go from doing a bar to all of a sudden you're on a summer festival stage, that was really cool.
He described it as like the hockey stick, you know, where your line just shoots
straight
up.
I haven't heard it that way. That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the 10-year overnight sensation.
That's right.
Type of thing. But he was great. So, yeah, the whole festival was cool. Everything just sort of... It always does, man. It seems like things just fall into place, right?
Every time.
Yeah. Just a cool event.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Back at the beginning of the year, it was announced that the IBMA, the International Bluegrass Music Association, World of Bluegrass, was going to come to Chattanooga. You know, we live in Chattanooga, we know people, so we kind of reached out and thought, we ought to talk about that on the What podcast. And so we did. And we had Ken White and Randy Steele on. Little did we know, I don't know if you thought we would, Russ, we would get, like, you know, full access like we got. But we got access to the red carpet event. And we did a little conversation. Brian Stone and I sat at a table and had a conversation about what it was like. Russ was... on the camera there, and we had the red carpet behind us. We're going to show that here in just a second, but it was pretty cool, wasn't it, Russ?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and show that, and then we'll come back real quick, and we'll talk about it, and then we'll talk about Shaky Knees, and we'll do our recap on our visit. You and I went down to Atlanta. Brian kind of stayed home. I think he might have done some...
Yeah, where was Brian?
I think he was doing IBMA, but he might have been watching football and, you know, listening to Pearl Jam. I don't know. Who knows what Brian does? Anyway, here we go. Here's our visit to the IBMA.
Brian, you ever done a red carpet event before?
No, I'm almost starstruck.
It's pretty freaking cool, isn't it?
I mean, there are stars here, too.
Yeah. Yes, there are.
I haven't seen one of them that I would consider a star. What I consider a star and what many of you around here would be different just because I'm ignorant to a lot of it. But wow, how cool is this, right?
Yeah, let's set the stage real quick. We are in the basement of the Memorial Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Auditorium in Chattanooga, Tennessee. It's the day three, is it?
Yeah, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're on Thursday now. We go into the weekend. First time we've had this event here in the city of Chattanooga. And sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, the World of Bluegrass is the official name. It's the IBMA, International Bluegrass Music Association. Already we met Russ and I, who's on the camera. We met somebody from Monterey, who's a promoter. He's here looking to book some bands. We've met Josh from Indiana, who is a performer. I didn't know what to expect, but I didn't expect this.
I didn't either, but I want a little credit for my Sedaria. Look at this guy. Look at this guy. I got this for a wedding like 10 years ago. I found it in a closet. So in the sport coat would look good.
He is a pro.
Barry, when this thing was announced, we've talked about a lot of longtime viewers and listeners will know we've lost our festivals in this town. And we were pretty bummed about that. And when this was first announced, not necessarily as a replacement, but the opportunity was there to bring this to town from Raleigh, where it had been there for about 12 years. I was looking for every reason to say, yeah, nice try, guys.
Yeah.
Right? Like, nice try. I know what you're trying to do. I get it, but I don't think so. Well, of course, I was wrong, as per usual. It has been such an exciting week here. It's nonstop wall-to-wall bluegrass. No secret. We're not big bluegrass guys. So that doesn't mean you can't really recognize excellence and recognize the celebration that it is. And I mean, we're only halfway through. Like, by the time this hits the air, as we would once say, this thing will be long done. Where we got the award show tonight.
So we'll get into that in a minute. A quick recap to sort of, if you're really, really interested, we did a show, 2 months ago? I think you set it up.
Back in the spring
with Ken White, who is the president of the IBMA, and Randy Steele, who is a local musician, friend of ours, good friend of ours, who's the guy who had the stupid idea, if you will, I think he would agree, the crazy idea, went to the Chattanooga Tourism and said, why can't we have that here? And boy, they jumped right on it, and we spent, a year and a half, 2 years, made it happen.
It's been a while. I mean, my guess is in the end, money talks, and we probably won the bid that way, not to minimize the work put into it from the grassroots efforts of it, because that certainly is where it started. We'll have it for the next 2 years after this, 26 and 27.
For sure.
And if we, you can keep it going with what they're looking for, which so far it feels like as just a patron, they're getting what they wanted. I don't know. I don't have a balance sheet or anything like that. But
so along those lines, and I'm going to ask you to go through it a little bit. Tonight, as you said, is the awards thing. We're going to be upstairs in the auditorium. To give you an idea of the level of stardom, we're not just making this up. This isn't, this isn't Ryan and Barry playing with our next door neighbors. The co-hosts for tonight are Steve Martin and Allison Brown. Performing, we expect, or is he going to give an award? I do even know, but Billy Strings.
I don't know. What I do know is standing right behind Russ. Turn around, Russ, and put the camera on that guy right behind you. That's Brian Sutton right there. And he was with Billy Strings on Tuesday.
Oh, nice.
And it was Brian Sutton and Billy Strings, and then there one other as a trio. It wasn't a traditional Billy Strings show on Tuesday here in Chattanooga. And I got a last-minute miracle
at
the show. And I didn't know the first thing about Brian Sutton. Basically, from everybody I could tell from my big Billy Strings fans, before there was Billy Strings, as far as the virtuoso nature of his playing, the level of singular talent he was, Ryan Sutton was the guy.
Nice.
He was the guy mopping up on everyone. And of course, as you know, I print Wikipedia. So 2000 to 2016 Guitarist of the Year, that's Brian Sutton.
Wow.
Every year.
So he's probably used to a guy turning around and putting a camera in his
way. Probably.
I hope so.
he didn't punch you. So the two of them were playing, and I didn't know what I was looking at. I was just like, who are these guys with Billy, and why is Billy not the center of attention?
Right.
Well, he wasn't the center of attention because it was a divided attention show. Yeah. I just didn't know what I was like, who is this guy? Like,
that's funny.
Shut up already, man. This guy is, he's legendary.
That's funny because one of the great shows that I saw in this building was Prince, who was with Larry Graham. Everyone was saying, who is that? Why do they Prince keep letting Larry Graham take the stage? And I'm like, if you know, you know. Yeah, he's a pretty good bass player. Invented that thing. So.
But in that setting,
I did not know.
Yeah. I did not know. But I, yes.
You knew tonight. So cool. I got
my second Billy Strings show on Tuesday this week. And
I missed the good one, though. The full band, real Billy Strings experience. Well, I mean, what I would consider good or better, we'll say. I missed that one, but boy, I was just as tickled, and it was such a treat to be able to be at such an exclusive event.
Well, let's do something I don't normally do, and let's stay on theme here for a minute.
Okay.
Tell us who are some of the nominees for tonight, and then I want to talk about some other stuff that's happening this week.
Yeah, so when I was going through the list earlier, I was just trying to find how many times Billy Strings was on it, because this is kind of like in the 90s, into the 2000s, Barry Bonds in baseball, Michael Jordan in basketball, Wayne Gretzky in hockey. The most valuable player are those three people every single year. There shouldn't even be a discussion, but they don't do it that way. Tonight, Entertainer of the Year is Billy Strings, Alison Krauss. Just to name a few as I'll go through. Album of the Year, Krauss has one there as well. Billy Strings, Highway Prayers, which is the only one I know of these, and it's excellent. But I would guess he's going to win a lot of these, not all of them. Instrumental of the Year, Billy Strings, East Grass Nash.
East Nash, excuse me.
Steve Martin, the co-host of the show, has his song 5 Days Out with Alison Brown. That is up for Music Video of the Year and Song of the Year. And it just kind of goes on and on from there. I could bore everybody with every single one of them. That's a little bit of star power, no doubt.
The point is if you're any good at bluegrass, or you want to be, this is a good place to be right now this week.
And if you're a fan, this is where they are. I mean, our downtown is, I've talked to people with hotels, venues, those kinds of things. Packed, sold out everywhere. I mean, so.
And it's interesting because when I was telling some people that we were coming to this thing, and we're guilty of it too. Everyone thinks it's a festival, that it's going to be a big stage or two big stages and 30, 40,000 people. But this week is about way more than that. We met somebody from Monterey, California earlier. He's a promoter that does a festival there, and he's here to find bands. What did he tell us, Rush? He's found two that he hopes, two maybes, and two that he hopes don't ask.
Yeah. Don't call us, we'll call you.
Don't make me say no. But that's the point is this is a place to be seen and to see and to discuss.
Think of it on a much lesser scale. No, I'm not going nuts here. But think of a little bit of Austin City Limits kind of thing. The way it's a symposium of sorts, it's a conference of sorts, it's meetings, it's gatherings, it's brainstorming, it's talent buying, just like you were talking about. It's a lot of stuff I've never been involved with before.
Right.
So I didn't really know what it was like either. I started the week early on just kind of hanging around our convention center, and it's workshops. It's exhaustive, the amount of things. And I still don't know what almost any of them are.
But it's very clear very quickly how important this event is to everybody involved.
Lots of people walking around with mandolins and cases over their shoulders, guitars, banjos, all over town.
It's an interesting kind of genre of music too, because you can be the most, like, top, I'll make something up, top 10 in your field, and no one is going to recognize, like, outside of the very, very, very top. And so that's just an interesting dynamic. I don't have a greater point other than that's probably pretty nice, actually.
Well, one of the things that Billy, in addition to performing, did was go to keynote speaks the other day. And in it, he talked about how he was not really accepted right away in the bluegrass arena, because he'd show up, as he said, with his long hair, tie-dye t-shirt, smelling like weed. He said, I knew I was good enough to play with him, but I wasn't always accepted. So
that's what the most wild dynamics of all this is. And we've talked about on the show before, as with my kind of obsession of trying to understand Billy Strings, is that I didn't hear that. I've heard him say versions of that. I didn't hear his keynote on Tuesday, but he's having trouble. Or he did, maybe not now, but yeah, he's having a little bit in a pool being accepted into the community initially, but the jam band community gobbled him up like it was nothing. And that's just wild, because he is every bit of everything that exemplifies bluegrass.
Yeah.
But he's a hippy dippy jam band guy. And that's probably maybe where that little bit of trepidation started. Right now, both scenes want him. Right now, both scenes want to celebrate the guy, and they do. So we don't get a lot of, like, you know, the shakedown street lot kind of thing you would see at a big jam show. And for the last two nights, I've been hanging out with the crunchy kids in the jam lots, and those are my people. So it's been a thrill for me this week. I knew I'd like it. I've had a blast.
I won't ask you to turn around, because we'll take pictures and you can drop them in, but this room is packed. Yeah. I thought we would be good to get 30, 40 people tonight. Yeah.
Quite a spread over there. They take on food.
I gotta get some guys up.
There's about a band of about 12 people up on the stage over behind us playing. Folks keep coming in on the red carpet. It's really, really cute.
Hey, we're hoping for a Steve Martin show in here. I don't think that's unrealistic at all to expect to see him any moment. I don't know if we'll be rolling at the time that it happens, but I certainly would enjoy that. One thing I wanted to just quickly mention is that I know this. This is from the big program, the exhaustive program from the event. Music City Roots, who are our buddy Todd Mayo,
yep,
was involved with producing and coordinating early on. I didn't know they had been away. They've been dormant for a few years, and they're making their comeback. I don't have all the details, but I pulled the sheet out of the thing. I was like, huh, I didn't even know Music City Roots wasn't a thing for a little while, and it's making a comeback.
I think COVID might have did it in.
That's in a quick glance of summary, it appears that is true. But November 26th, Music City Roots is back. So if you're interested, you can check that out.
All right, so what I think we're going to do is kind of hang out. This is supposed to last another hour, I guess, or 40 minutes. Already gotten some names and phone numbers. Maybe we can get some more. I don't know how much we want to follow up with this. I'm mostly interested in talking about the sausage making, like talking to the promoter and maybe following up with the musician to see how it went. One of the things he said to us is that he hasn't been to every single year, but he's ever been to every single venue about these things. So it'd be kind of neat to get a follow-up with him to see how Chattanooga compared. I was just going to say, the only other thing is Russ is leaving tomorrow. This is Thursday night. Russ is heading down to Atlanta for Shaky Knees. I'm heading down there Saturday. Going to be there for 2 days. You're probably in and out of here.
At this point, I don't know if I'm making the Shaky Knees or not, but this is a hell of a warm-up band for a big-time week. And the only thing we were talking about last week, it didn't come together. The news that came out of this festival, I'm not going to make a big deal, but Sierra Farrell, right? Is that how Sierra knows? It's Farrell. Sierra Farrell. She, 2 days before the festival, dropped out. Now, most people don't agree with me. I did not like this. She's going on to play at Willie Nelson's Farm Aid 40th anniversary this weekend. And it's a star-studded event. Neil Young, Bob Dylan, old event. A lot of great artists. She was supposed to be the headliner here. Gonna blow it off for a cooler party? Rub me the wrong way. That's all I'm gonna say on it. Most people said,
get over yourself, dude. Well, I was like, well, I get over myself. This is for the event.
Man, I don't disagree with that. But from my point of view, we're getting David Rollins and Gillian Welch instead.
That's a great substitution.
Yeah.
She's the top of the bill, man. Yeah,
2 days, too.
A lot of people paid money to come see her. I get it. Things happen, but I don't know. I guess something neater came along. Oh, that's all.
Well, really kind of, I guess. All right. Anyway, anything else?
I think we're sure now.
We'll just hang loose. If something else comes our way, we'll jump back on. But thanks for watching live. This is live from the IBMA World of Bluegrass in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Red carpet event, man. Look at all that. And it is.
Look at me, Ma. It is no joke.
Yeah, so there you go. That was cool. I mean, I think I've done a red carpet maybe years ago at one of the junket things. But if I did, I was, you know, way in the back, not even paying attention. But I didn't know what to expect, but this was awesome.
I definitely have never covered a red carpet event, and I don't think Brian Stone has either, since he had to pull out his jacket from a 10 years
his jacket
and sitting in his closet.
His jacket and his tie-dye shirt and his ball cap, which I respect. At least he wore a jacket. I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. That was amazing, right? I mean, that room was full, and it was full. If you are a bluegrass fan, that was a place to be, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It was pretty cool.
A lot of names you might recognize, the Doyle Lawsons, the Steve Martins, of course, the Allison Browns, Michael Cleveland. You've seen Michael Cleveland on probably every YouTube clip, whether you know it or not.
Mm-hmm.
He was there. Billy Strings was not at that event, the red carpet, but he was there.
But he was all over. He was all over Chattanooga, and Brian Stone got a ticket to go see him play. Yeah. What, Tuesday night, I think.
Yeah,
one of the nights that he was here.
I ran into. I told you when I was checking in, getting my credentials at Shaky Knees on Saturday morning. A girl who was running the will call had on a Billy Strings Chattanooga IBMA T-shirt, and I said, "Were you there?" And she said, "I bartended both nights." So, you know. Pretty cool. Small little world again, right?
It is. Kind of weird to have them both on the same weekend. I mean, I know it's obviously two different separate events run by two different people in two different locations. Well,
two
so
different
it's fine,
worlds, let's be real.
Two different worlds, yeah. But for us, you know, covering both, it was a little hectic.
Yeah.
But they announced dates for the Bluegrass Festival for the next 2 years, because they've got a 3-year deal with Chattanooga. And I suspect if things go well, it'll stay in Chattanooga for as long as it works out. But at least for the next 2 more years, it's going to be held in October. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. That's nice. So it'll be what, after Three Sisters, I guess?
Yeah, I think it'll be after Three Sisters, which is another bluegrass festival here in Chattanooga that's actually coming up this weekend.
And again, to differentiate, Three Sisters is what I would consider a festival. It's a big stage.
More of your traditional.
Stand in the field, and it's free. Watch music. The IBMA World of Bluegrass is all kinds of things. It's hard to explain to people because they're like us. They think festival, and they think that's what it is. So,
Also, dates-wise, Shaky Knees was on a weird date. It's normally in May. They moved the date and the location this year into September, and from Central Park to Piedmont Park. I think maybe Central Park was doing construction this year. Maybe they were redoing it. That might have been the reason. I don't know if you...
I did. I asked my buddy why it moved, and he said they swap them back and forth. For several reasons. One, to literally let the grass grow back, and also, they shut down the neighborhood. I mean, there is no parking in that area.
Oh, yeah. That's true. All along the street.
Yeah, so it's in the Virginia Highlands area, if you're familiar at all with Atlanta. And so, that's pretty stressful on the neighbors. So they complain. So they move it back and forth.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think we...
Well, but date-wise, I don't know if maybe... the location wasn't available in May. I don't know otherwise why they would have moved it to a completely different time of the year.
That I don't. Yeah. I don't think that ever came up that I heard this weekend.
So we'll see. I guess they'll announce sometime what their plan is for next year. If it's going to be at Piedmont Park in September, in May, who knows? I don't know.
Yeah. And again, I was lucky. I got to stay with my buddy. You had a hotel.
I got a hotel.
It was convenient,
a few miles
right?
away.
Was it too bad?
Yeah. No, it was great. In fact, when we checked into the hotel, we ran into this lady and her son. They were there for the festival. You know, you can kind of look and tell who's here for Shaky Knees. And, you know, we were both checking in at the same time. And then she said, well, how about we split an Uber? I mean, you know, we're both going to the same place. I said, great. So we checked in, got ready, came downstairs. She was like, hey, I just got an Uber. It was only like $5.
Oh, sweet.
And it's going to be here in like 10 minutes. And we're like, okay, well, let's go sit in the bar and wait. I'll buy you a beer since you got the Uber. So
nice.
And then, yeah, so that worked out pretty well. Shout out to them. They were from Jacksonville, Florida, I believe.
Wow. That's cool. Everyone was super nice. It was just, the whole vibe was great. Yeah. People, hello, good morning, you know.
Right.
It was cool.
And then like you, I've got a buddy that lives in Atlanta and I hit him up and we had breakfast Saturday morning. He came by the hotel and picked us up, went to breakfast, and then we were pretty close to the park. So he was like, I'll just drop you off right here. So
nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what my buddy did for me.
Yeah. So we did Uber a few times, but it was, you know, we got some rides and stuff and got to hang out with people, so it was worth it.
Yeah.
Went to the Hard Rock Cafe Sunday morning. I think I sent you that picture there. Went in there and got a burger and looked around and all kinds of memorabilia. There was Lynyrd Skynyrd's drum kit up on the wall, mounted up there, and a letter that Buddy Holly had written to his dad, it looked like, that was framed on the wall. That was kind of interesting.
It was cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Virginia Highlands was very walkable. Jeff and I, my buddy, we went to, I think I mentioned later, an Irish pub and had a Guinness and then walked another block to, I think, Sir Hans Thai food, which was terrific.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, just everything was cool. No complaints.
Right? And then,
walked a bunch. Walked everywhere.
Walked a bunch.
Got in the car
twice.
I
haven't even looked at my steps yet, but, you know, it's a different vibe from Bonnaroo, which is a camping festival. Once you go into Bonnaroo, you're pretty much all sealed in. But here, you know, the festival closes at the end of the night. So, you know, you can go out into Atlanta and do a lot more stuff in the city that you normally wouldn't get to do at Bonnaroo. So there's pros and cons to both, right?
Yeah, 100%. And I think I mentioned that later when we talk about Shaky Knees and the whole thing. We ran into a lot of Bonnaroo people, and Bonnaroo came up a lot. But the Shaky Knees vibe is completely, completely different. You're there just to see the show and then, move on, go do something else, which
when
is cool.
When you're at Bonnaroo, it is cool. I think they're both cool.
Yeah.
When you're at Bonnaroo, though, you're not going to step out and go have a Guinness and Thai food, though.
No, you go back to camp and you do more Bonnaroo.
Yeah.
So just different. But I had a blast. So glad I did it. A lot of things happened behind the scenes for us that I'm very excited about that won't mean anything to you guys until, you know, something maybe manifests from it. But just a great trip all the way around. Super glad we did it. Busy week between bluegrass and Shaky Knees. Completely different animals in every way.
Yeah. But a good doing time. Both of these in 1 week was a lot.
Yeah. All right. We are going to talk a little bit more about our trip down to Atlanta. And then we're going to bring in Bill Murray, B-I-L-M-U-R-I. Bill Murray, who we sat down with on Saturday. So, again, it was a busy week. A great week for the What Podcast.
Yeah. And, you know, we get to find out why he chose the name Bill Murray for his band. He tells that story.
And I don't know. I had to bring it up, but I can't think of any other artist currently that can rock a pair of jorts.
Yeah.
Like Johnny Frank. Yeah, yeah. Intentionally. Mm-hmm. He was a lot of fun. He's a good dude.
Well, let's run the clip with Bill Murray, and we'll come back after that.
All right. The other night on Thursday, Rush, you and I were with none other than Steve Martin.
That's right.
Tonight we're with Bill Murray.
That's right.
I think next maybe who? Chevy Chase? I don't
know.
Yeah,
why not,
what
dude?
Would it be,
yeah,
right? Yeah. Man, thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, happy to be here, man. Thank you so much for having me.
How's the summer been? How's the tour been for you?
Oh, dude. It's been has anyone ever answered that it was horrible?
Well, Bonnaroo was canceled, so you could throw that in.
Well, it's been great. Nice. It's been awesome. I was just curious if anyone's ever been like, sucked, dude.
No,
it's been awesome. We've been like, I've been getting really spoiled because we've been selling out our shows in like a day. And, you know, when a show takes like a week to sell out, I have to like check myself and be like,
that's pretty awesome.
You would fucking have killed for this 2 years ago. Stop bitching and like be super grateful. And most of the time, luckily, I am grateful for all the stuff that's been going on and grateful that our tour is sold out. So it's been cool.
I'm going to let you do the Bonnaroo discussion real quick.
Of course, you were supposed to play which day?
Don't know.
It's kind of a blur now. Yeah,
that's right.
I know they've said some artists next year, they're going to get a redo. Some are being asked to come back. Would you be open to coming back next year if they asked?
I've heard it's a great festival.
It is a
great
festival.
I don't know. I'm kind of in the dark about all that stuff.
Okay.
So, yeah, I was just like, you know, we'll see. But I was so bummed. Luckily, I'd just gone to Nashville to shoot a music video, so it wasn't like I went there for nothing.
Not a wasted trip.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that was good. But I think I had been on the road for a really long time, too. So when it canceled, there was a part of me that was like, to go home and see my wife, which is sick, and you know.
I was gonna ask that question because, like, sometimes when you're at work, you know, you pray for a rain out. I was gonna ask what you did. I mean, is that normally would you go golfing? Would you go sleep? You know, in a hotel
on an off day?
Yeah, or something like that, a surprise off day.
I flew home as quick as I possibly could. I didn't see my wife in like.
And where's home?
Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, okay.
So I hadn't seen her in like. Couple months or a month and a half, so I was just like, you know, happy to do the festival, but also if I got home a couple extra days early, I'm like really happy about that as well. So when I'm home, I'm just walking the dogs and, you know, just being a normal ass person. Going, I've got a diner right across the street from my house, so I always wake up at like 7 a.m. and go over there and hang out with all the hometown folks and kick it. Yeah.
I want to talk about the music here in just a minute, but you mentioned what an awesome summer it's been. And coincidentally, you didn't get to see them, but the guys from Hey Nothing were sitting in this very spot 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
They are the one act that we did get to see and interview at Bonnaroo.
Yeah.
And they are so sweet.
Yeah.
But you talk about going from 0 to 4,000 miles an hour in a summer. They did it.
That's awesome.
And so have you. And so... I mean, you joked about, does anybody ever say it sucked? But I got to ask, what is that like, man? I mean, that, you know, you work so hard. It's the 15-year overnight sensation.
Yeah, the hockey stick moment is what we call it, you know, or it's like little, then boom. It's been awesome, dude. So when I was in high school, my band kind of had a similar moment. And I was so young at the time that I didn't really feel like I got to appreciate it or do it right, because it was just like, you're building a building and, you know, 2 months, it's going to be shitty. And I left that band, you know, and was kind of just like, all right, well, that was cool, I guess, and I'll never get to do it again. So the ability to be able to experience another rise has been awesome, like a gift from God. And I'm genuinely like really appreciating it this time, especially now that I'm older. And it's like, these things are not just given to you.
Thank you. These things
are special. Yes. And like, I'm very happy. I keep a journal of like just mundane shit that happens every day, just so that I can go back and remember it. And like, oh yeah, I did eat whatever XYZ that day. And, you know, I'm trying to really appreciate this rise a lot more than the last one.
It is different when you've done it. Like, yeah. Again, the Hey Nothing guy, they're 20.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking to him and it's like, you know, this isn't normal.
No.
It's like going to the Super Bowl your first year, right?
It doesn't. I think they know. I think they know what a big deal it is for them.
So, sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everyone processes it differently for sure. But I was just such a moron when I was in high school that I was like, I guess this is just what happens, dude. And, you know,
we're gonna do this.
Dear diary, today I'm going to be a star.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I didn't even really like process or think about it. And never thought it would happen again, so I'm just happy that it is, and just riding the wave is what I call it. And yeah,
musically, how is that evolution? Talk about your evolution a little bit. Are you, and I always ask this question because it fascinates me with songwriting, are you playing the music today that you heard in your head maybe 10-15 years ago?
Oh, definitely not.
Yeah.
No, I very much, Bill Murray is a, like, it's a layered cake, and every record, I feel like I add a new layer to that thing that I'm like, something will kind of like show up in my head of like, all right, there's a sound that I'm hearing that's cool, but it's all stacked on what's come before it. So it's never like, oh, we're going to do something so wildly different. At least in my head, it's not wildly different. It's like, oh, there's a new layer I want to add to this, you know, cake. And it's very much been a sound that's been built for about a decade at this point. So like, that's, yeah, it wasn't like some moment that just came to me in my head randomly. It's just very like slow and steady, you know? And then you look back and you're like, wow, it's like just doing a little bit of improvement over 10 years or a little bit of change or adding on to things. You start to really see the difference 10 years ago.
So 10 years ago, you weren't thinking I need to mix metal, country, pop, and some Christian elements.
Yeah, no.
We look at your journal, it's not in there.
No, it was I try to just keep my eyes on what makes me happy and, you know, what I enjoy and what's interesting to me. And if other people find that interesting, then we probably have quite a bit in common anyways. So I really feel like the fans have latched on to just what I think is interesting, and that makes a really cool, deep relationship between them and I.
I'm hogging the mic right now. You got. I know you got.
Well, let's just talk about the name.
Yeah.
Because I talked to a few people and I said, "Oh, we're interviewing Bill Murray later." And what? No way! And I said,
"Daughter, you could just hear her breath catch."
Yeah. And I said, "Well, it's actually not that Bill Murray."
I hate to disappoint you, but it's some random guy from Ohio. Yeah.
So, is that a name? Was that a nickname that you had, or was it just?
No, it was
just a funny.
I remember we were just sitting in this campfire and, you know, I'd made the decision to start a band, and I was just kind of like, well, what do we name it? And I said that, I just threw that out, and everyone kind of chuckled, and I was like, well, it's nice when you first hear a band name to have a good, you know, interaction with it.
A good first impression.
Most of the time you're like, what's the name?
Yeah.
Like, and you're like, oh, cool, I guess. Like, whatever.
Yeah. No, so I love the name too.
I just wanted to create like a genuinely interesting reaction the first time you hear it, and then, you know, maybe have it make you want to ask a couple questions and go from there.
So. You've got it. Yeah, you've definitely sparked a lot of interest, I think.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, and he's such a beloved guy, too. So it's when you see it on the lineup, you just smile.
Yeah, you're like immediately.
Now
good
I'm
vibes.
Interested. Yeah, it's got to be a happy thing.
That's right. Yeah, so that's also, he's got kind of that special quality to him as well.
Yeah.
So.
Talk about the songwriting. You mentioned you hope other people, when they hear it and, you know, connect to it. Who are you writing for when you write?
I feel like I've got a good grasp on what Bill Murray fans want and a good grasp on what I want. And I try to like find the middle ground in between those two things. Because it's like at the end of the day, like I really do make music for other people as well as myself. And I do find the most success when I can really toe that line, you know. And it's not like I'm not trying to make some insane artistic statement. I just really like want to play music and like, yeah, I mean,
yeah,
like make music that people like and people enjoy and can kind of shut their brain off for an hour, you know, and not think about whatever's going on.
Well, so, nothing wrong with that. I mean, not everything has to be a deep, poignant thought.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not hot enough to be an artist, dude. I feel like I make music that's just like,
don't sell yourself short.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it, man.
I mean, anybody that can rock jorts
That's right. Yeah.
Come on now.
I feel like I've earned that one.
Yeah. Come on now.
Through the Iron Palace, I've earned the right to wear jorts. I genuinely try to, I view music as like a self-giving thing as much as a self-receiving thing. And both of those are important. And if you nail it, then you got something really special.
Yeah. So. It's one of those things, right? You know, was reading, obviously, in preparation, and it's like some people are like country and heavy metal. And I'm like, well, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I mean.
Why hadn't it been done? I know Kid Rock probably would be the closest.
Yeah, a little hip-hop there, too. Yeah. I think, for me, it was like, there's an artist named Hardy who's like a good friend of mine, just a great guy. And he had this just one part in one song called Boots. And it's like this country breakdown. And I was like, well, I just want to make a whole album of that one part. You know, that's cool to me. And you can tell that, like, I was like, oh, this dude's listening to metal. Like, you can just tell, like, you know, he's got a foot in that world. And I just thought that was so cool. So I was like, well, let's just make an album of that. I like that sound. I think he stumbled on a really cool sound that I want to explore it more. So,
I mean, I'm going to stereotype and generalize something awful here, but I bet if we went out in the parking lot and found any truck, there's a Metallica CD and there's a, you know, pick a country.
Totally. And
Florida, Georgia.
That's right.
Whatever.
Well, like, what's been really interesting for me as well is, like, you know, obviously when I was real young and we would do Warped Tour, it's like we're playing Jackson, Mississippi. And there's a bunch of, like, high school kids who are going out and listening to heavy metal music all day long at Warped Tour because it's sold out. And so I'm like, there is absolutely a group of people who grew up listening to country and then maybe discovered heavy music in high school and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, if I marry those two things, I'm sure that those people will come out of the woodwork and be like, oh, finally, like, my two favorite things have been added to one. So, you know, that was also kind of something in the back of my mind as I was working on the record as well.
Rap, I appreciate your time again, but I just got a couple more.
Talk
a little bit about the festival, kind of going back to, has that been a different, is it a different audience, a different animal for you than maybe a honky tonk or a bar, or a parking lot or whatever?
It's wildly different. And it's also really interesting because every festival is different. So it's like, you know, I'm learning. This year is a big learning experience for me because we never really played festivals up until this point. So, like, realizing that if we're going to go play, like, a Lollapalooza, maybe we skew the set a little more pop. Or if we go and play, you know, Incarceration, which is, like, at a prison in Ohio and it's all heavy metal bands, it's like, well, we can skew it a little bit more that way. And, that's really what we're trying to do. And my goal next year is I want to play a country festival, a pop festival, and a rock festival and have it not be weird. So, you know, that's just the challenge
for
I have.
Yeah.
Well, dude, if we come out and play a bunch of heavy metal to a country festival, you know, people will feel uncomfortable, and I don't want that. So, like, I, you know, that's a goal I have in my head, and I'm like, it would be interesting to try and take on that challenge and see. But, like, every festival is wildly different. So it's, you know, I feel like every festival that we play is a relationship that's beginning. And, like, I learn more about that festival and what it's like and how to, like, slightly adjust what we're doing to make it better for people. So,
yeah, that's one of the things we've heard. I mean, we've done this since 2018. And festivals are a chance for a band to get in front of a whole new audience.
Right.
You know, because they might be there here to see somebody else, but they're like, oh, hey.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything.
Bill Murray's playing. Let's go check that out.
Yeah. Right?
But it's interesting to hear you say you kind of tailor a little bit to the event because we've asked. Bonnaroo used to get more of that, we kind of felt like.
Yeah.
But then we were hearing, like, the bands, we've worked all year to put our set together. And
right.
It's not as easy as just, you know.
Especially if you're headlining.
Blowing it up, you know.
Yeah.
But you have that.
I'm
desire
learning.
And freedom.
I'm learning. I mean, and also too, sometimes you just don't have the time to be able to do it. So we're in the middle of, like, record mode. So it's like, you know, I press pause on the record and now I'm here. So it's, like, been interesting to learn how to switch gears and do that as well.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
What are folks going to see tonight? What's a Shaky Knees crowd going to get?
I mean, like, we're we're playing last on our stage, so we've got an hour, so we're just going to rip our headline set that we're doing this summer, and yeah, so
awesome.
It'll be sick, though. It's we try to like, I don't like playing over an hour. I know we will eventually have to, but like, I'm like, okay, instead of doing an hour 15, let's take the 15 most boring minutes out of the set and just have it be an hour.
Yeah.
And that's really been my goal for the last like 2-3 years, is to make like the most entertaining possible hour we possibly can. And, you know, not add songs, but take away the weaker ones, yeah, and just keep refining, yeah, it and refining
just boil it.
Boil
it down. Until that's right. It's, yeah.
Yeah. So
we might have to consider that for this show.
Why do we have our shows run that long? We should cut ours down.
You mean we can take the bad parts out?
Yeah. Just edit it, dude.
Who are you? Are you going to see somebody here this weekend?
I'm hoping to see My Chemical Romance. I've been a fan of them for my whole life. I mean, they're a lot of the reason I got into, you know, rock music and stuff like that. So I'm excited to see them in like the festival format. Like, you know, I think they'll probably thrive in that format. So yeah, it'll be sweet. I'm very excited.
All right. Awesome. You got any others?
That was it. I was going to ask who you were excited to see, who's else on the lineup, but yeah, My Chemical Romance is good choice.
Yeah.
Well, I thought Russ at the beginning was going to say you were at the top of all of three. We usually have three of us. And when we were looking at the Bonnaroo lineup, you know, who you want to see, you were up there.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that because you're sitting here. So when we saw you were here, it was like, maybe we can get him to talk to
absolutely,
us.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, well, I'm happy to be here and excited to play. Well, glad it's not going to get rained out. So.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been dreading. I was like, I hope there's no hurricanes. I hope there's no storms. But yeah, it looks like we're getting away with perfect weekend.
That's
this
right.
time. So
yep.
Yeah, I'm tired of festivals getting rained out and canceled.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
Johnny, man, thank you so much for your time.
I appreciate you guys, man.
This was
you.
Great.
Absolutely.
Can't wait to see you tonight.
Oh, appreciate it, man. It's going to be awesome.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, so there you go with Johnny Frank. Wasn't that fun?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was really cool.
I'm glad we got that one interview from Shaky Knees. That was really cool.
Yeah, he was a good dude. He was very patient. Kudos to the folks running C3, running. I thought the event was great. It was neat having the media tent back there. One thing I would ask for is maybe a fan, maybe something to move that air a little bit. But that's being picky. They did have snacks. They had a snack table and obviously a lot of ice water. You know, we're being spoiled.
Yeah, they didn't have hors d'oeuvres like we had at the IBMA, but, you know.
That's true.
Think we can
That's
get.
True. That's right. What was the prosciutto or whatever? Yeah, the sliders. Yeah. If we're going to compare the two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the bag of Doritos didn't quite compare to the sliders and the... But anyway, it was really nice. Like I said, I thought it was just a great event. I love the layout. It was easy to get around.
It was all fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. Lineup was good. Love the transition. I really can't say that enough. It was great to be able to just turn around and walk from one to the next and not have to sit around and wait.
Yeah.
You know, or miss. I mean, there were still conflicts. Like I missed Wet Leg because of conflicts, and I would have liked to have seen Four Non-Blondes because they were on the same time.
Yeah, there's still more stuff that I wanted to see, but when you've got such a smaller venue, there's going to be conflicts. You can only have, there's only so many hours to pack all this in, so there had to be some tough choices made.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really wanted to see Wet Leg, but I think Weird Al was higher on my list. Four Non-Blondes were up against somebody that I wanted to see, you know, so... But I still saw a lot. We saw the beaches. Franz, that's right.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. It was great. That was a good show. I saw that one.
Yeah.
And that's another one that I've missed. Oh, yeah, the beaches. I forgot about that.
Yeah,
that was a great show.
Stone's favorite.
Yeah. Saw them back. Got to see them back in the... they were being interviewed and photographed and all that. So, anyway, it was a big-time event. Big-time fun. Whole weekend was a blast. Got to see, like I said, my buddy. Got to run into a lot of people. Thank you all so much for coming up and saying hello.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Especially, I kept running into her. She's awesome.
She's super cool.
That's a blast. So, all right. Well, you and I need to catch up on our sleep. we got our steps in.
Yeah, I am very exhausted, very sore, and yeah, ready to sleep. So
yeah, it was a blast,
though. Coming up, I don't know, we might take another week off or what. Depends on what we get, right? We got some other stuff lined up. So.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. As always, I can't not. I am sincere when I say to everybody who came up and said hello, thank you. That means the world. It's amazing.
Yes, thank you so much. And if you ever see any of us at a festival or concert, you know, please don't feel bad. Just come up and say, hey, we love talking to everybody. And yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah. We'll usually have stickers to give out or something. So,
yeah, you gave out. I meant to say that. So when we got, we went to the vending, they had a take one, leave one little box.
Oh, yeah.
And Savannah left a trinket, and you left a sticker of your face, and I left a mm-hmm. sticker of the what. And when I went back the next day, your face was still there. I kind of felt bad.
That's okay. My face has been left a lot of places.
I don't know if it's good or bad.
Yeah.
just teasing. All right, guys. Bye.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.